Last week we took a look at Jabez and this concept of the one verse wonder in the Bible. Now, throughout God's Word we find these characters who appear for just a verse or two and then are never mentioned again. Yet their lives and their circumstances give us a lot to learn and apply. And so this morning we're actually back in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 again. And we discover there another one verse wonder. He's a gentleman by the name of Seraph. I find this to be a very inspiring portion of Scripture as we take a look at these verses and try to determine what the Lord might teach us from them. So again, we find a one-verse wonder here tucked away in the genealogy, starting in verse 21. Bear with me as I read these names. It says, "The sons of Shelah, the son of Judah, were the father of Lekah, Leda, the father of Mareshah, and the families of the house of the linen workers of the house of Ashbeah. Also Jochim, the men of Chozebah, and Joash, Seraph, who ruled in Moab, and Jashubi, Lehem." Now the records are ancient. "These were the potters, and those who dwell at Netaim and Gederah, and there they dwelt with the king for his work." So a lot of names in there, but we want to focus on Seraph, who ruled in Moab. Now his name in Hebrew means burning or to shine. He was a descendant of Judah, and at some point he ruled in Moab. Now, when he ruled in Moab is pretty important to our understanding, because good commentators are split on what we should think about this character. The language and record, as you know, as it does very often, gives us two very distinct options. Now, the first option is that Seraph was a faithful servant of God and Israel. This is the interpretation that I personally ascribe to taking a look at the text and finding what we see here. He would have been sent to Moab during the time of King David, when that region was conquered, and he would have been sent there to govern and enforce the rule of the king. Moab, of course, was the area where the wicked Moabites lived. They were people who were enemies of God and Israel, but they were subjected by David during his reign. Let me read to you 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 2. It said, "Then David defeated Moab, forcing them down to the ground. He measured them off with a line. With two lines he measured off those to be put to death, and with one full line those to be kept alive. So the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute." For Seraph to serve there would have been particularly difficult, I think. It would have been dangerous and probably pretty discouraging as well. It was on the other side of the Dead Sea, separated from Jerusalem and the territories of Judah. It would have been a sacrifice to go there at the behest of the king to do his work. But Seraph did go, and he had dominion there. He mastered the task. He accomplished what he was called to do. Calling is an interesting concept in the Bible. Each of us have a calling on our lives according to God's word. Ephesians 4:1 is one of the verses that speaks to us about this issue. It says, "I, Paul speaking, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." We discover our calling specifically by spending time with the Lord and opening our lives up to be available to Him. All of us as Christians have a general calling, things like the Great Commission, you know, and to follow the example of Jesus Christ, to follow His commands and all of those. That's a general calling. But then we each individually have a specific calling that God places on us as individuals. And we discover that by spending time with the Lord. Now, once we know what our calling is, our duty is to do it. It's very simple. God has formed us and fashioned us a life to live so that we might become glorious vessels through which He accomplishes His will. But our pliability and our usability, that's up to us. And sadly, we often reject God's calling in favor of some other pursuit or some other desire, and those other things will eventually leave us unusable, unsatisfied, and really without purpose in our lives on the earth. So Seraph had a calling from the king, and he answered the call. He took his difficult post, and then he accomplished what the king asked him to do. Now, depending on your translation this morning, you may get a little more information about this character. Let me read verses 22 and 23 in the Amplified Version. It says, "And Jochim, the men of Chozebah, Joash, and Seraph, who ruled in Moab and returned to Bethlehem, these are ancient matters. These were the potters and those who dwelt among plantations and hedges at Netaim and Gederah. There they dwelt with the king for his work." Very interesting. So, first, Seraph was willing to take this difficult position of leadership in Moab, but here we see at some point he returned to Bethlehem with members of his family to become a potter in the plantation and hedges of the king. And so here we see that Seraph embodies for us how a servant of the Lord is supposed to behave. Throughout this chapter, we see the different trades of the men of Judah being highlighted. Up in verse 14, it highlights a group of craftsmen who live in the Valley of the Craftsmen. In our passage, in the first verse, it mentions a group of linen workers. Here we find that Seraph was one of the potters in the king's garden. And so here was a guy with skill and gifting. He was excellent in his work, but he also had a humble servant's heart. And he is a great example for us. At some point, the king tapped his shoulder and he sends him off to govern in Moab. It would have been a difficult post, yes, but it would have been prestigious as well. I mean, you are ruling on behalf of the king in that region. But at some point, after some time, the king calls him back and he says, "Hey, great job. Now I need you to come back and work in the plants and in the hedges. I need you to be a gardener for a while." And this is really interesting because we see that Seraph returned to Bethlehem to serve David as a potter. He worked as a field laborer. And this is just an amazing demonstration. It's a great range of duties, going from governor to gardener, and seeing that he was willing to do both of those things. Because what we find is a man whose contentment and his self-worth was not based upon, you know, how prestigious his job was, but it was centered around doing the king's work. That's where he found his contentment. That's where he found his self-worth. He was a man who had no selfish ambition, but he was focused wholly on accomplishing whatever task the king had for him. He was flexible and available and usable to do a variety of tasks in the kingdom, in a variety of places, in a variety of ways. Selfish ambition is the enemy of ministry, and also it's the enemy of our personal relationship with the Lord. Now on Sunday, we learned from the Lord's Prayer about God's power and His glory. We learned how the Lord's power is present in our lives when we're seeking His glory, and vice versa. In our culture here in America, we are rights-oriented and we're upward mobility-oriented. That's just the way it is. There's nothing wrong with that from a cultural standpoint, but we have to jettison those ideas from our faith. The idea that my rights are the most important thing and my glory is the focus of my life, those ideals are contrary to the truths of the Bible. Instead, may we be men who serve God like Seraph did, who shine for Him and burn brightly as He refines us and strips away those impurities and imperfections from our hearts. He was the shining servant who showed us what it is to have a life submitted to His King. Now, as I said at the beginning, there is a second interpretation held by some good Bible commentators on this character. They are in the minority, but we want to be fair. Matthew Henry sums up this minority view in his notes on these verses. Here's what he says. He says, "And another family had dominion in Moab," speaking of Seraph and his family, "but now were in servitude in Babylon. It was found among the ancient things that they had dominion in Moab, probably in David's time, when that country was conquered. They transplanted themselves there and were put in places of power there, which they held for several generations. But that was a great while ago, a time out of mind. Their posterity were now potters and gardeners, as is supposed in Babylon, where they dwelt with the king for his work. They got a good livelihood by their industry, and therefore cared not for returning with their brethren to their own land after the years of captivity had expired. Those that now have dominion know not what their posterity may be reduced to, nor what mean employments they may be glad to take up with. But those were unworthy of the name of Israelites that would dwell among plants and hedges rather than be at the pains to return to Canaan." So Matthew Henry believes that they were serving the king in Babylon, not that they returned to Bethlehem, based on his interpretation of the passage. Henry and a few others feel that Seraph had been deployed to Moab, yes, under David's reign, but eventually the family had abandoned the people of Israel in favor of a life with the Babylonian Empire. Now, I find personally that the weight of evidence indicates that Seraph was a hero and not a villain. It talks about them returning to Bethlehem, you know, in the best manuscripts, and you know, most good commentators say that the king that they were serving was David and Solomon, not the king of Babylon. This interpretation from Matthew Henry and others, however, gives us a contrast by which we can test our own lives. Each of us has a calling. Each of us has a skill and a gifting from the Lord. Each of us live in a lost and sinful region as representatives of the King. From this point, from this setup, we can take one of two routes in our lives. We can be a seraph in the positive sense of submission and contentment, or we could be a seraph in the Matthew Henry sense of lust for worldly pleasures, of abandonment of God's people and God's plan. And so the question is this: what sort of service are we rendering to Jesus Christ? What sort of seraph are we? Are we the seraph who is humble and available, a man who will go anywhere to do any task the Lord might ask of us? Or are we the seraph that has become infatuated with the trivial richness of Babylon? Are we waiting for the call to return home to Bethlehem, or are we more interested in staying out in the world while others draw closer to God? These are questions that we should ask of ourselves individually, because these are important heart issues that will determine incredible things in our daily life. As I read the text, as I said, I find Seraph to be a hero, a godly servant. He dedicated his life to service of the King, no matter what or where the job was, no matter how prestigious or how difficult. He was already determined to do what the King was going to ask him to do before he even knew what his task was going to be. And then he followed through with excellence and faithfulness. And so let's determine to serve the Lord today, to focus on His glory and not our own, and find contentment in the life that He has prepared for each of us to live. Amen?